Things have changed a lot since January when it comes to Montana's response to groups in Washington state that could shut down parts or all of the Colstrip coal-fired electricity plant southeast of Billings. Last year, Washington lawmakers asked for an analysis of, among other things, how much it would cost to shut down the 1 and 2 units of Colstrip's 4 smokestacks. When Colstrip Republican State Senator Dwayne Ankeny heard about that in January, not happy.
They never even contacted our governor or the legislature or anyone to tell us they was proposing these bills.
Ankeny fired off a bill that eventually didn't pass in Montana's legislature, saying that Montana expects $44 million a year over 20 years to take care of hundreds of people who'd lose good jobs if half of Colstrip is shut down.
Fine. You want to play, you're going to pay.
Fast forward to Wednesday, when Senator Ankeny had a chance to talk directly to some Washington lawmakers at a public work session on Colstrip held in Spokane. There were also reps from the companies that own most, but not all, of the Colstrip coal plants and the separate contractor that actually runs the plants. Ankeny says he's been educated about why people in Washington are weighing Colstrip's future, and he now has a much different understanding.
I mean, they have a tough issue. It wasn't cut and dried like it appeared to be. They was just going to come in and shut down 1 and 2. They're willing to sit down at the table.
Senator Ankeny's change in attitude is significant, says Jim Jensen at the Montana Environmental Information Center.
I think it was interesting that by the time this meeting was over today, that it was clear that it is now a foregone conclusion in among all parties, including Senator Ankeny, that units 1 and 2 are going to be closed. We're now talking about terms and conditions, I guess.
The thing Tuesday's meeting made clear is that what will ultimately decide the shutdown date at Colstrip 1 and 2 is money. Talen is the name of the company that runs actual electricity production at Colstrip, and that's expensive. Gordon Criswell is its environmental compliance director.
We're spending in excess of $50 million a year on capital projects to maintain equipment and to keep it to where it can meet availability of around 80%.
The company spending most of the $50 million a year is Puget Sound Energy, or PSE, based in Bellingham. PSE, in turn, is owned by big pension funds in British Columbia and elsewhere. They have a real interest in how much it costs to produce electricity, because if they can get it cheaper elsewhere, that's the best business decision. And there are other forces that could drive up the cost of cranking out the megawatts at Colstrip. One, there's President Obama's strategy for reducing carbon dioxide emissions. Montana is being asked to cut 47% of its CO2 by 2030, the highest percentage of any state.
Second, Carbon Washington. This is the environmental group pushing to enact a carbon tax by citizen initiative.
That's Steve Sechrist, a vice president at PSE, which owns 50% of Colstrip 1 and 2.
Third, the Alliance for Jobs and Clean Energy. This is another environmental coalition formed to advance a carbon citizens initiative along the lines of a cap and trade system that would put a price tag on carbon.
Fourth, the Democratic governor of Washington, Jay Inslee, is also talking about a cap on carbon emissions that could make it more expensive to produce electricity at Colstrip. Given all that, how far into the future does Senator Ankeny think that Colstrip Units 1 and 2 will continue to run?
The coal miner side of me says run them sons of guns until 2070, you know. The reasonable side of me says 2025, 2030.
The fate of Washington's environmental ballot initiatives is still unknown. That's also true of President Obama's plan to reduce CO2. But Washington State's legislature meets in January, and it stands to make decisions on a target stop date for Colstrip Units 1 and 2. Eric Whitney, Montana Public Radio News.